The Lord be with you.
And your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus said to the crowds, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man throws seed on the land. Night and day while he sleeps, when he is awake, the seed is sprouting and growing. How, he does not know. Of its own accord, the land produces first the shoot, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And when the crop is ready, he loses no time. He starts to reap, because the harvest has come." He also said, "What can we say the kingdom of God is like? What parable can we find for it? It is like a mustard seed, which at the time of its sowing in the soil is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet once it is sown, it grows into the biggest shrub of them all and puts out big branches so that the birds of the air can shelter in its shade." Using many parables like these, he spoke the word to them so far as they were capable of understanding it. He would not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything to his disciples when they were alone. The Gospel of the Lord.
I think many priests, teachers, even parents today feel totally inadequate in the face of a very changed and changing society, because the answers of yesterday seem to have no relationship with the youth of today. And many people are finding it difficult to hold on to any faith in the kingdom, sort of struggling to see evidence of the Holy Spirit at work in the world, because we can see so many other things, it appears. They are there, but we need to search. And in a way, St. Mark's Gospel is quite relevant to that situation of a faith in an age of crisis, because he was writing about 40 years after the time of Jesus. The church community was under persecution from the outside. Virtually all the apostles and the links with Jesus, direct links, were gone. They had the phenomenon of Christians lapsing away and falling away from their faith. There were internal problems from self-appointed prophets and healers who were distorting the message of Jesus to their own ends, so that people were asking, is this the kingdom that Jesus set up? Is this really what is happening? And as Mark wrote to help, he puts five little parables that instruct us on what the kingdom is like. And we have two of them today, because, and at the end of it, but our lecture fixes it there, he makes that intriguing comment. He wouldn't speak to them except in parables, but explained everything to his disciples when they were alone. And Mark shows that large crowds heard the parables, but they stayed outside the group of believers. Those who were believers, called disciples, received the gift of further instruction, and they got the inside story. And they came to see that the parable was part of their lives, and that they were part of the parable's life too. Because what Jesus was proclaiming, we were meant to take in. We were like, he was sort of sowing the seed in us, in order that we could become the seed to bring and shed that to others. Because he was calling people to a changed way of life, to repent and to believe. And to believe in the kingdom is to hear the story of Jesus and to become part of the story. The others, the crowd, were listening, but they weren't taking that part on. And what the disciples and the close believers were to discover is that the parables invite us to sort of take part and be involved. They involve us in the gospel, in Jesus. What he's trying to say is that look at an acorn or any seed and see how it differs from a lifeless grain of sand because it's got a potential for growth. And the further marvel is in recognizing that the seed of Jesus is the soil for my life. And from that, it can then grow into that kingdom. And yet we look at life around us and so many things we can be overwhelmed by. I mean, I think we cannot but be concerned about the violence and the killing and the census situation in Syria. But last August we had the violence and the vandalism, the crime in our own midst. The economics uncertainty goes on. And that, of course, affects everybody's life. Many are appalled by the amoral sort of standards which are accepted today as entertainment. And then a relentless sweep of secular society, which is so opposed to so much of what we believe to be right, and being not only questioned, but almost forced upon us. And when I got back yesterday from the wedding on Scilly, and I hope you're as glad as I am that I'm back, because we weren't quite sure whether anything was going to sail or fly, but it did, and here we are. But when I got back, opening the post, more articles about, well, this time it was that should caring midwives be forced to perform abortions, because by that time that there be a midwife there almost at the birth, are they've been forced. But you may know that two nurses in Glasgow were censured by the medical council and maybe even lost their jobs because of that. So it's all many issues that are going on, and it seemed that people can have conscious objections and rights except Catholics and Christians. So it can seem that there's a diabolical power that's very strong all around, and a culture of drugs and death and destruction, and a culture of death. And you add into all that, the many of you, as I know, feel this, that you're shattered in life because your children and grandchildren have cast off their Christian roots and expressions of faith. I think many priests, and we all feel inadequate in the situation. And that might be what the farmer felt. It's because he sowed his seed and he went to bed and slept. And then he woke up and he watched. And in a way, that's what Mark's trying to say to us. Don't be worried. Don't be anxious. The seed is always being sown, and sometimes we've got to wait for it to come to fruition. We've got to give God a chance, and sometimes we don't. We think it all depends on us, and it doesn't. So even the smallest sign of progress, and there are signs, believe me, there are signs of progress, and not be disappointed. God's got to let it grow secretly, so that the warrior must let go and let God, and the impatient must learn that you don't admire the blossoms on the apple tree and pick the fruit on the same day. We've got to wait for God's time. And sometimes he rushes in on us at an overwhelming pace. But we know too that 1,000 years is like a day. The mills of God grind slowly, but life and growth and spring and all the seasons are there. Nature, that great teacher, and Jesus very often uses nature to bring out the lessons. And maybe that spring growth that we long for, that we're looking for, will be being enriched at the moment by winter's decomposition. We've got to have the winter, we've got to have the spring. And of course, in life, we're not just at the same season. Just in the way that our season seems to be all a bit upside down, maybe that's a reflection of life too. And maybe that winter is actually what we're going through, and have been going through, and maybe going through for longer. But in God's good time, the kingdom will grow. The growth of the kingdom depends, yes, on our effort, but even more on the grace of God. And we've got to leave the growth of the kingdom to him and take our part within it when we can.